Welcome back to Zero Credits, the show where we talk about things. I'm Henry.
I'm John.
And together we're Henry and John.
Hey, you did that thing that you've been doing.
I've done it every episode.
Let's not call attention to it then.
All right.
So
I would never want to do that.
So how have you been?
I've been pretty okay as of late.
So what a hair follicle transplant is they take the hair from the back of your head and then they pluck it out. But they pluck out more than just the hair. They use, like, I don't know, some kind of medical machine. And then they put it in the top of your head where presumably you've lost some amount of hair.
Can I applaud you on your brilliant transition skills?
I told you I'd explain to you what a follicle transplant was. I just didn't say when I'd do it.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Here I thought we were going to do like a nice little setup about your weird fetish for men, old men with like just locks of hair.
Mm-hmm.
And then we brought up hair plugs, but...
Yeah, same thing.
I guess...
So I'm glad you're doing well.
Thank you. You like doing this, don't you? You ask me how I am, I think this is going to be a normal conversation, and then you launch into something.
It's a perfectly normal conversation now. You're making it weird.
I guess I am. And for that, dear listener, I blame John.
So what did you get up to today?
What did I get up to? That's a really good question. I did laundry.
Nice.
No one wants to hear about my laundry.
It's called a jumping off point.
Yeah, I know.
We do banter until we can come up with something to say.
Okay, so since this is a podcast, you guys can't see this, but there's literally clothes hanging up all around the recording studio, aka my apartment. John just counted the number of socks hanging up on chairs.
7.
Yeah, 7 socks, because of course you never get 8 socks back. So, I mean, laundry, that's a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I do coin-operated laundry, you know what I expect?
Yeah.
For it to work.
One would assume.
Yeah. It didn't.
I've never had any luck with a coin-operated laundry experience in my entire life.
Here's the thing about the coin-operated laundry facility at my apartment complex, which will go unnamed for legal reasons.
All right.
It's funny because it's literally like a roulette. They've got 2 out-of-order signs
mm-hmm.
that I've ever seen. And I swear they just put them on different machines every week.
So they've got 2, but what they're really trying to tell you is everyone is out of order.
What they're trying to tell you is good luck, because it's a gamble either way.
Yeah. The first time I did laundry in my new apartment complex's laundry facility, I went back to the laundry machine and I saw that a huge river of water was running out of the washing machine into the street. So that really wasn't working as intended, I don't think.
No, not unless, you know... You're trying to be, like, the source of life, like a river?
I don't think I'm trying to be the source of life to anything, if you know what I'm talking about.
Other than the bacteria that grows in us, am I right?
Not an edit point. So, speaking of that sock thing, backtracking for a second.
Okay.
So, you never get the right number of socks out of the washing machine.
Is there an explanation for that, or am I just dumb?
So, I've actually done some amount of... Not research, but anecdotal research.
That's
and experimentation.
It's the best kind of research, to be honest.
So, I routinely have lost in my life socks. I don't really care about white socks, black socks, whatever. But however, when I did own 4 pairs of $18 socks that were very, very nice, I never lost a single one of them because I made sure that I found them. So I think not getting the right number of socks back is just being inattentive and uncaring.
That's probably true. The fact that you can remember how much you paid for these socks...
Oh yeah, it was... When I looked at how much I was spending on socks, I'm like, this is ridiculous. Human beings don't do this.
No. Well, human beings are the only things to wear socks, other than adorable puppy socks, but I don't think the puppies like it.
I'm sure there are other animals. I think I've seen a horse wear socks.
A horse wear socks?
Probably to keep its legs warm.
So leg warmers.
Oh, a horse and leg warmers would be pretty funny.
Yeah.
Man, did you watch that Super Bowl?
I sure did!
Their cleats look a lot like socks, like they don't look like shoes anymore.
I didn't notice the cleats.
Like, they're just one whole piece, it looks like.
Well, you know, depending on the team, they might have pretty much everything but, like, their forearms covered in uniform these days.
Yeah. They just look like one whole white piece.
It's compression sleeves, which are supposed to supposedly, like, keep everything tight.
Yeah.
So, you know, things don't get... It's, like, to prevent injury in some way.
I thought you were saying to prevent energy. Like, they want to keep the energy within Cam Newton.
That's almost what I said.
So what'd you think of that Super Bowl?
I actually predicted it, believe it or not.
Yeah?
Well, see, I offered two predictions. My predictions were, what were they? That's what you're about to ask.
Yes, what were they?
Oh, I made two predictions.
You predicted that I was going to predict that, so...
Oh, well, I don't mean to brag.
Man, you should get a bookie.
I would, but anytime I would make it official, that these outcomes wouldn't happen. So here are my two predictions for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
We should have a segment that's like, post-Super Bowl predictions.
Yes. Okay, wait.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Oh. Okay, that was the intro music for post-Super Bowl predictions.
All right. So I made two predictions, John. The first prediction was that it was either that the Carolina Panthers were going to just win it by the first quarter.
Yeah.
Or it was going to be a long, drawn-out defensive game.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of those came true.
One of them did come true. And in fact, I also had two predictions going to the Super Bowl, and I also had a 50% success rate.
Okay.
And my first prediction, the prediction that thankfully came true, was that the Denver Broncos would win.
Okay.
My second prediction was that the Carolina Panthers would win.
You kind of just covered your bases.
We've got the same batting average. we've both got 50% going into this.
You know, I'm going to dispute that because that was literally the two outcomes.
50%.
All right. Now, what about your halftime show predictions? Did you know Coldplay was headlining before it happened?
No.
Really?
I didn't know anything going into the halftime show, and I would have bet money Bruno Mars would appear, so I'm glad that I got that one out of the way.
Okay.
I really was not... I was not expecting the tearful memorial to the 49 better Super Bowl halftime shows, but, you know, whatever.
You know, the Super Bowl halftime show is so interesting, because no matter what they do, people don't like it.
Yep. I loved it, actually.
I enjoy it. I don't see Bruno Mars perform much.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I do get to see him perform, I'm always sort of blown away because that person moves not like a human.
He's a fantastically consummate performer. Now,
Beyonce, though.
There are a lot of people who are talking about her performance in a very negative light, and I don't think it's earned. Not the performance. I don't think the criticism of it is earned.
I don't understand this. Okay, I saw Beyonce perform, and the whole formation thing I thought was kind of cute, because, like, football, you get in formation, and they kind of made, like, arrows and X's, and I was expecting to know, but it didn't come. But, so what did people, what backlash could there be?
So, firstly, it stems from the music video for a new single, Formation, which involves, it's very, like, Black Lives Matter kind of imagery. It's a child dancing in front of riot officers. It's a sinking New Orleans PD police car. It's graffiti that says, "Stop shooting us." And part of the criticism of her halftime show was that the outfits were pretty clearly, at least somewhat inspired by the Black Power movement and a little bit by the Black Panthers.
Okay.
But the criticism that I see leveled against it most commonly, and I hate it, is, well, if a group of white people got up there and they had imagery that denoted white power, then it wouldn't be cool. And that comes down to the whole, it's solidarity. It's not...
You know, I don't really have much to comment on this other than, what if a group of humans got together and had a whole thing about human power and, oh wait, that's everything.
Yep.
Okay. This is a movement. This is a happening that's happening right now that you can't deny is not happening.
Yeah.
And so if that is Beyonce's way of sort of like, this is how I'm going to use what gifts I have, what opportunity I have to show my support, to get people talking, to get people to notice, and maybe things will change, then that's not something to critique, that's something to applaud.
Yeah, exactly. I think that people tend to view, and sadly, especially members of minority groups, that when they show any form of solidarity, they view it as like a criticism or an attack of their way of life, and that's not true at all.
I mean, you're right, because, you know, I guess the whole day of the Super Bowl is a long commercial. yep. made up of tinier commercials.
Absolutely.
And so Beyonce, it seems, took one moment to do something anti-commercial and something more human, more realistic. And so she's sort of swimming against the stream. This is all metaphor talk of the day. Mm-hmm. And so I guess it stood out to people, and that's why they're criticizing it.
I think if you put it up against what Coldplay did, which was a tribute to previous Super Bowls / Super Bowl halftime shows, versus what Bruno Mars / Mark Ronson did, where it was just a tribute to, I don't know, MC Hammer? Maybe. Probably. But then, I don't know, hers had some amount of message, and it was a message that was carried over from her new single, but, I don't know, people like to hate things that they don't understand. I think that this is kind of the most cut and dry thing we've talked about on Zero Credits.
Probably. I mean, leave it to football to get us to, like, the root of the matter of the problem.
Yep.
I want to speak, maybe backtrack, maybe half a backtrack.
Mm-hmm.
It's as people, you said, like, when any sort of group of minority gets together and, like, tries to unify other people who aren't minorities, see that as an attack on their lifestyle. I think that's somewhat rooted in this the long historical us versus them mentality that has no purpose anymore in modern day life.
Yeah, I could see that.
Because it's, you know, this is way reductive, and in no means am I suggesting that what I'm about to say exists in the world today. But it's like when we would see another culture getting together in a, quote, formation, that's like war. That mm-hmm. is a literal attack.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't live in a society anymore where when people get together, it means attack.
Mm-hmm.
It could just be a gathering or yeah. a protest.
I mean, you see the same thing that crops up around, like, gay pride parades, is people tend to have this odd belief that gay pride parades are this indictment of their way of life. That's like, no, it's just a celebration of theirs.
Yeah, parades are celebrations.
It's not a criticism of your way of life by them making a statement, hey, we exist and we enjoy things, bye.
Just letting you know that, you know, I'm into other people who are like me, and that we just exist and deal with it.
Yeah.
Why aren't there more parades for things?
I mean, we live in the South. We have parades for everything down here.
It's actually Mardi Gras today.
It is Mardi Gras today.
Yeah, happy Fat Tuesday, listener. Oh, I dated the podcast.
Wait, no, it's Mardi Gras. Let me think. The Zydeco music, beignets, king cakes, structural corruption.
Wait, what?
What? Wrought iron fences on balconies. A pervasive smell of urine.
Gosh,
let me try to think of more New Orleans things.
Josh, John, you're making me homesick.
Wait, I guarantee.
That's Cajun and that's Lafayette, come on.
Isn't that Chef Paul Prudhomme?
Yeah.
My parents actually knew him.
That's awesome.
Before he died.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is, eh.
Yeah, I mean, New Orleans, you gotta, if you live there, you have to love it because they make us.
Yep.
You know what's weird? I grew up in New Orleans.
Yeah.
Podcast listeners, don't be surprised. And I went to a New Orleans restaurant this weekend to visit with my family, with my girlfriend. And I was just reading the menu. I was perusing it. This was a small establishment called R&O's Restaurant in Bucktown, Metairie. For those of you who know where that is, now you can go there and eat.
But and tell them we sent you for $10 off.
Don't do that. They'll have no idea who we are.
Tell them, and they might give you $10 off. Use coupon code zero credits at what? R&O Grocery in Metairie, Louisiana.
R&O Restaurant. But I was looking at the menu, and I saw a weird thing. All their Italian dishes came with red gravy.
All right.
You know what red gravy is?
Some kind of tomato-based gravy?
Just tomato sauce. New Orleans has a name for everything.
But it's just...
it's just tomato sauce.
They can't just make a new name for it.
They did. It's red gravy, John.
No.
There, I was like, you can get spaghetti with red gravy.
And
that's the spaghetti.
And you're like, but wait. No.
Yes.
That's not okay.
It's a thing that happened.
Ugh.
I have witnesses.
I hate this.
And you know, the thing is, like, throughout my life, I've always been like, I don't like gravy. Mm. So to suddenly have something that I do like, tomato sauce, called red gravy, I was like, no!
You know, I think I've turned around on this. I was upset at first, but I think that we as a nation should get behind calling all things that are semi-viscous liquids an edible gravy.
Wait, so does that mean milk? Is milk like white gravy?
White gravy.
Isn't there already a white gravy?
Yeah.
You put them on biscuits. You guys are weird.
Now you call that sawmill gravy.
Sawmill gravy.
Yeah, it's white gravy with, like, sausage in it.
No. Wait, do mills have sausage? Wait, I don't get the sawmill part.
I don't know. That's just what it's called sometimes.
All right, so then you can have some white gravy and cereal.
Yeah,
so, like, white cereal and white gravy.
Yeah. Everything.
Everything.
Like nacho cheese, yellow gravy.
Yellow gravy.
Mm-hmm.
You got your spicy yellow gravy. You got your mild yellow gravy.
Hell, let's chocolate milk, brown gravy. And then you're like, there's already a thing called brown gravy. Well, base it on context.
Oh, so just like fill in the blanks just based on what the...
Yeah.
But then you go to a restaurant and they serve both lunch and breakfast food.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, ooh, they've got like a Salisbury steak and it comes with brown gravy.
Mm-hmm.
Am I getting chocolate milk? I don't know.
I mean, you could
They serve both, John.
You could base it on context. There's no way they'd serve a Salisbury steak with chocolate milk unless there were some real like foodie assholes and they were like, this tastes best.
But John... It's 2016.
It is 2016.
Foodie assholes are restaurants now.
Foodie assholes are actually about 60% of the restaurants in New Orleans now.
Well, if you don't go to chain... Okay, the thing
Thanks,
about...
Thanks, gentrification.
The thing about R&O's is they've been there forever. It was established in the, like, 1890s.
Yeah, the places that have, like, real strong footholds, but, like, restaurants pop up and go away in New Orleans all the time now.
It's true. Unless you're one of the big people from, like, the Food Network, your restaurant may not be there tomorrow.
I went to one, I forget the name of it, it really wasn't worth going to, but I went there and it was just built into this little tiny building, and I'm like, oh, do you want this, what is it, gumbo, zherbs?
What are you saying?
Gumbo with herbs. I don't know.
So they combined the word gumbo with herbs with the letter Z?
Yes.
Is that a thing that happened?
It's what they did.
That sounds horrible.
And no one there sounded like they were from New Orleans or knew what they were talking about, and everything tasted really awful.
Well, gumbo is gumbo. How do you mess up gumbo?
Everything was blackened.
They blackened the gumbo?
I think there was blackened sausage in the gumbo.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, blackened is supposed to be like a New Orleans thing.
It's just burnt.
Look, burnt...
I say that, but back when I eat meat, like, blackened grouper was delicious.
Burnt adds flavor to certain things if it's done well.
Like grouper. Grouper's a really mild kind of fishy fish, and if you burn the outside, it makes it taste way better.
Yeah.
Doesn't make the meat taste better, but the interplay between the charred outside and the fishy mild inside.
Oh, yeah, no. You don't want to burn the inside. You just want to char a little bit of the outside.
Yeah. You just want to cook it really hot.
Sometimes when my dad cooks steak, he's one of those proponents of, like, I have to cook the meat the whole way through or else we'll get sick, even though with steak, not as true.
Yeah, my dad's always been in the school of, hey, I have this steak, I have this frying pan that's, like, 4,000 degrees, I'm gonna cook it on, like, 5 seconds on each side, then roll it around the edges, and it's done.
See, yeah, my dad is like, no, let's put the steaks on a charcoal grill for a couple, like, you know, between, you know, 40 minutes and an hour.
Man, that's awful.
Well, he does
I say that.
He does. But... It's not well done. He still makes it pink. You know,
okay.
He controls the flame and where he puts it in such a way.
Okay.
He would rather make sure over like time that it's cooked through. But sometimes, of course, you know, things get away and he'll burn a little bit of it, and it's delicious.
Yeah,
it is delicious.
Some nice charred fat on a steak is delicious.
Yeah, it's the only way to eat fat, which you shouldn't eat.
You shouldn't eat fat.
You should not eat the fat.
Stop it.
Listener, don't eat the gristle. Is gristle fat?
Yeah.
Okay, don't eat the gristle.
Listener, I hope you're really enjoying this. We may have gotten a little heavy last week, but this is a real, like, tall glass of lemonade. Very easy content to digest in this week's episode thus far.
We keep telling the listener what to do.
We don't tell them what to do. We only offer a helpful guide.
Well, there's not many ways to misconstrue don't eat the gristle. That's a command.
So I went to Goodwill today.
Oh, tell me about that.
Because I had to buy a suit, because I'm doing a comedy thing where you have to dress in a certain way. And when I was buying this suit, because I don't own suits, I'm not a monster.
I also don't own a suit, but that's just because I just disagree with looking nice and general purpose.
But I was looking at these suit jackets, and, you know, you're at a Goodwill, so they're not going to be tailored to fit you, and I had to find the best possible option. And I put it up on a rack, and this woman came out, and she grabbed it, and she said, "Are you looking at this jacket?" And I was like, "Yes." And she said, "You shouldn't do that." And then she put it up back where I had put it and then walked away. And clearly she was an employee. And it's like, I don't understand what she thought she was accomplishing by telling me this.
I want to time out here and just, you shouldn't do that. What was she referring to? Putting it on another rack?
Is it I shouldn't do it in that I shouldn't put it up if I'm thinking about buying it? Or I shouldn't look at things before I buy them? She was clearly very upset.
Well, maybe she was just having a bad day.
That's entirely possible. People can't be trusted when they're having a bad day.
Yeah. Look back at the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Cam Newton
had the worst day of his career.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, he's gonna grow and learn from it.
That kid is gonna be all right.
Somebody called him kid.
Yeah.
How do you call a grown man who just played in the Super Bowl a kid?
You are an asshole.
Yeah.
But
it was someone famous too, somebody who was like who'd been out like a linebacker in the 50s or something. That's not true. I don't know anything about this.
People like to act like Cam Newton is a young, brash asshole a lot because so Peyton Manning stormed out of an interview after he lost Super Bowl 44.
Yeah.
No one cared.
Well, he's Peyton Manning.
Cam Newton storms out of an interview after he loses Super Bowl 50. The media loses its mind.
Here's the thing about Cam Newton that a lot of people haven't heard of, because it happened when he was on teams that weren't big. He wasn't doing well. He was that brash, kind of cocky kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then a year or two passed, and all the commentators were like, ever since Cam Newton changed his attitude, he's been much better for the team, blah, blah, blah. Well, we saw him slide back into a moment where he was sort of like that emotional brash person.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're comparing him now to how he was a few years ago.
Yeah.
And so that's, I guess they're saying he's more immature because of the timeline, because we perceive time as linear.
Mm-hmm.
But really, he had a bad day. And also, while he was doing his press conference, they were doing a press conference, like, back-to-back with one of the defensive players who was, like, responsible for his loss.
Mm-hmm.
And he was having to hear the defensive player give his answers.
Oh.
So it's like, okay, a lot of things are stacking up here.
Yep.
Let's give the guy a break. Let's see, he's gonna come back next season and still be the same person.
I mean, during the Super Bowl, they locked camera on a Panthers player who was crying.
Josh Norman.
And they did not show Cam Newton, like, really gladly shaking Peyton Manning's hand.
They locked, and, you know, when they did that, when they showed him, they panned away for a brief second, and then they went back, and it was Josh Norman of the Carolina Panthers. They show him crying for a good beat. I was just like, leave that guy alone.
Yeah. It's you should see that if you're operating the fucking super robot cameras they have at the Super Bowl, you should see that happen, then go, okay, and then track away.
Find anything else. And, you know, it's the producer in the booth. He can see everything at once.
Yeah.
Everything. And he's like, all right, cut back to 3, cut back to 4. Mm-hmm. So it's that guy's fault, really.
Yeah. It's not the switcher's fault. It's the producer's fault.
Cam held it together. He shook Peyton's... Manning's hand with a smile on his face.
Yeah, they both looked happy about it.
And then, you know, I was rooting for Peyton Manning. I was rooting for the Broncos the entire time. And he made me regret it when he...
When he gave his speech, I was like, Budweiser.
I gotta go kiss my kids, kiss my wife. I'm gonna drink a lot of beer tonight. Budweiser.
Is that actually what he said?
That was the second time he said that.
Okay.
Because he's... Just like Marco Rubio and the most recent Republican GOP whatever debate, Peyton Manning gave the same exact set of lines twice. And it was both when people asked him, is this your last year? Which, of course, he's not going to answer that question without speaking to 1,000 of, you know, his agent, his money guy, his wife. That's not a decision he made before walking on the field.
Wouldn't it be great if someone made all their sponsorship money and all their football money, like, Marshawn Lynch just retired.
Yeah, I'm sad about that.
Yeah, I love Marshawn Lynch. And he just retired, and he apparently, at least in interviews, says he never really spent any of the $49 million he's gotten.
Nice.
And is just going to retire on almost $50 million.
Which not a lot of them do.
Also, did you see how he retired?
The best thing ever, man. Yep. It was through Twitter.
Yep.
He tied
Describe it for the people.
So, you want me to?
Yes.
It was on Twitter. Mm-hmm. He took a picture. This is what he took a picture of. He tied his cleats together,
mm-hmm.
using the shoelaces.
Yes.
And threw them up over a power line.
Yep.
Took a picture of it and said, that's all.
And yeah, it was just a peace sign emoji, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's how he announces, man, Marshawn Lynch is the best. Was the best.
It's good to hear, because a lot of them are really bad with their money.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because they're bad with their money, they get people to handle their money.
Mm-hmm.
And those people know that they're bad with their money, and so they take advantage of those people.
Professional money handlers are just licensed thieves.
It's true.
The best financial advice fits on, like, 2 post-it notes, but that's it.
Oh, well, now you... Okay, 2 post-it notes, you say? Oh, what is this?
Anyway...
No, what are the 2 post-it notes? You have to tell us now.
Oh,
wait, but that would be part of your credentials.
Yeah, it would be. Save 20% of your money. That's the first thing.
I guess we'll find out the next one after this brief commercial. We don't have commercials.
So you'll find out the next one, next pod. I will tease this out. Oh. Every podcast, new segment. We're going to have a segment where I give you financial advice in 1 sentence.
So the first sentence was,
save 20% of your income.
All right.
Save 20% of your wages. Let's say that.
What's the difference between income and wages?
Because you can get income from a loan you took out. You can get income from like a grant or a scholarship. Don't save unearned income.
Okay,
you totally could, but...
Well,
the best way to think of it is, save 20% of what you make from working.
Sounds good.
Ba-da-bop.
Ba-ba. Oh.
Anyway,
we're sponsored.
So, where's Budweiser? I want to kiss
my. I want to kiss my Budweiser and little Budweiser Ina.
I'm gonna go home and kiss my Budweiser. But so the thing about Peyton Manning,
he picked a really bad beer.
Wouldn't it be great?
Budweiser's not good.
No, it's awful. Wouldn't it be great if someone who is, you know, a 70-year-old man with a body full of glass like Peyton Manning, like, but when they ask him. Super long-windedly, is this your last Super Bowl? What are you going to do, Super Bowl? Whatever. And they knew that from this point onward, they're not going to do anything else. And they were just like, football is a sham and has destroyed my life. Or they just say complete nonsense.
My marriage is unhappy and my kids hate me because I'm never home. I have to travel this odd number of weeks out of the year, and I'm making a lot of money, but I don't get to see a lot of it because of taxes and whatnot, and I gotta pay each city I go to play, I gotta pay them more money, and you know what? I quit.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, I'd love it.
It'll never happen.
No, because the system has to be kept in place.
Yep.
Which is why Peyton Manning had a stock pre-arranged answer.
Yep.
You know what would be great, though? If they could only try to get endorsement deals within, like, the 20 seconds of interview post-game.
Mm.
And so it's like, Terry Bradshaw, we went back in time for this question, and, you know, you did really good. What do you attribute your victory today?
Papa John's Pizza, Budweiser, Papa John's.
Yeah! And it'd be like, you know, I looked down at my cleat, and I saw that Nike check, and I was just do it.
Yep. So what if there was a football person or similar athlete that did fully endorse these products, but when asked about it, he was like, that's why I believe in the bank account of the Nike Corporation that paid me $15 million to say that they're a great company. And they are, and their money spends.
So in the DC universe, there was the time-traveling superhero Booster Gold.
Yes.
And he got sponsors, and he would do that sort of thing.
Is he like Blue Beetle?
He pairs up with Blue Beetle.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like Blue Beetle.
The blue and gold, they were together for about 20 to 30 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
So I want a football player who literally does this kind of thing. It's like, you know, before I threw that ball, I had to dig deep inside myself, and I just found that those chicken McNuggets I ate before the game just gave me the boost of energy I needed.
Yep.
I don't know why all my football players are Southern.
That would be great. Or, you know, complete non sequiturs, like, you ask Peyton Manning, like, hey, is this your last Super Bowl? And he's like, I think the world is a drop of blood in a dead dog's eye. Hail Satan. And he just walks away. It's like, okay. Well, that's great.
Well, that's one answer. hey, coach, what did he mean? Well, he just meant that, you know, all hail the Dark Lord.
I mean, it can't, like, if you're an NFL quarterback and you make it to the Super Bowl and you win, you have the potential in 10 seconds to say something everyone will hear.
Yeah,
and no one has ever used it for good.
Instead of saying something genuine,
yep,
I'm going to Disneyland
where I can eat all the chicken McNuggets. I'm going to Chicken McNugget Land. I'm a chicken. Look at me. Bop, bop, bop. McDonald's pay me money. Give me money. I'm a chicken.
Alright, so in your mind, football players are these really gifted athletes, but when someone puts a microphone in front of them, they just lose it.
Yeah.
They're not real people.
Yep.
That's awesome. That's great.
But no, it's very troubling to think about how important that moment can be and how it's never been used for anything, even remotely interesting.
You know, if you look at it from the perspective, and this has been done before, at Oscars acceptance speeches, they're kind of the same.
Yeah.
And if we all can just turn back the clock and remember
Marlon Brando.
Marlon Brando's acceptance speech for The Godfather. Mm. He didn't go up. He didn't accept the reward.
Yep.
He sent a, I'm going to butcher this. It was like a Navajo Indian, I think, to basically give a speech about how it's terrible what Hollywood is doing to her people.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it was different, but they allowed it to happen because what are they going to do? It's a live event.
Yeah, because it's... There are these rare tiny moments, because we do exist in a system that's largely ruled by our entertainment, but there are these very tiny moments where the entertainment industry allows itself to be vulnerable because it's safe in assuming that these people will say these benign platitudes.
Yeah.
But they're really bent over a barrel if these people go off the rails.
If George Clooney ever decided to just, like, railroad something, a certain issue or point, he could have absolute clout and power.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, he has that clout and power because he played the game.
Yeah.
He doesn't want his life ruined, so he'll keep playing the game.
Yeah, he's not going to stop playing the game.
And who would? I mean, we can't blame him for not wanting to buck the system that's, you know, keeping you famous and alive and well.
Podcast listeners, if I ever become exceedingly famous, I'm going to make good on this, and I am not going to make a boring speech if given the opportunity. If I win an Oscar, if I win the Super Bowl, if I climb the aggro crag, my speech will be shit worth listening to.
And I just,
thank you, Nike.
I just want to add that if I ever become exceedingly famous and, like, you guys are worried, oh, will he, won't he sell out? Just know, I'm going to sell out the first chance I get.
Oh, absolutely.
I will make as much money as possible. You'll see me on Yo Gabba Gabba. You'll see me just, like, at NASCAR events. I would do every talk show.
Oh, for sure. Like, if look, I'm already ruled by enough things. If Pepsi came up to me and said, hey, we'll give you $1 million, I'd be like, sure, I don't care, whatever.
Yeah. And so I just want you to know that comes from deep down in my heart, where my heart keeps track of my budget, and I don't have a lot of money.
Yep. Same.
I mean, I don't know if you want to do another finance tip, but I keep my budget right next to, like, just my heart.
You're going to have to tune in next episode.
To see if that's good?
Yes.
I'm going to forget.
That's okay.
They won't.
That's okay.
The internet never forgets.
The internet forgot that one thing.
What did they forget?
My passwords.
Oh, you think they did.
Oh.
You just said nothing worth stealing.
Fuck.
Oh, whoops. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba.
I left my phone in the car.
Nice.
Well, it's been nice knowing you.
I guess I'm going to steal this microphone. They're $30 on Amazon, by the way.
Did we spend $50 on them at Best Buy?
Yep.
Oh my god.
I thought they were 50. Let's play some Tetris, motherfucker.
And we're back.
Hey, John.
What's up?
How are you feeling?
I'm a...
It's time for our segment, What Are We Doing?
Okay. What are we doing?
I was just going to do that.
Yeah, but what are we doing? We have to...
I was interrupting you after I asked you how are you feeling, because I thought I wanted to see how it felt.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, now that you introduced the segment, we do have to figure out what we're doing.
I guess what we're doing right now is awkwardly explaining why I did that.
And that's what we're doing.
Da-da-da-da-da-dead.
You watch any good animes lately?
Surprisingly, no.
Yeah, I haven't either.
Is this your segment you wanted to do that you pitched that we didn't ever actually pitch?
It was gonna be something else, but this is fine.
No. We can backtrack.
Let's forward track.
We can't go forward in time.
Okay, here's the segment. The segment is John's Anime Corner.
Doo doo boo ba da be roo.
Yeah, I haven't watched anything good either.
Ba da be per doo boo.
Sorry. I've been weirdly jazzed up about like Japanese culture and stuff lately.
Have you seen One Punch Man?
I have not.
Oh, One Punch
Man. I watched
Man.
The first 5 minutes of one episode and it looked really good.
That's the last anime I watched.
Is it good?
I like it.
Okay.
It's fun. It's whatever. It sucks. Don't watch it.
Look, anime can be good and fine.
It's a very weird critique, I think, or like a satire even of just, you know, the typical superhero or magical boy anime thing.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. Very enjoyable. Crazy as hell.
How long is it?
12 episodes.
Really?
Yeah.
That's not long.
Yeah. There's a webcomic that's been going on forever.
Okay, so yeah. If it's only 12 episodes, I could totally watch that.
Let me reemphasize. This is a webcomic.
That's pretty impressive.
It's not a manga.
That's pretty cool, though.
When the guy first started drawing his webcomic, he could not draw.
Yeah.
And so, the show reflects that, and it's awesome.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm a huge nerd, podcast listeners, I'm sorry.
Nerd.
I like anime and video games and shit, I'm sorry.
Me too.
Nerd. But we also like to talk about books and shit. But, keeping in with the theme of this week's episode of We Don't Talk About Anything Heavy, we're talking about the lightest things of all, which is anime, Super Bowl. I really want to put... Okay, hear me out.
You're all over... Take a deep breath.
Henry?
John?
I really want to put together a robot model kit.
John?
I really do.
Are you talking about those things that you could put together and they're robots, but you have to paint them all in individual pieces?
Yeah, I used to do that a lot when I was like a teenager, and I haven't done it for about...
What a nerd.
8 years. I really want to. Like, they're super fun.
What's your favorite mech?
Out of all of them?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm completely out of my element here.
I do like giant robot shows a lot, and probably... Did you ever watch, like, the original Gundam?
The first Gundam?
Yeah, the first one.
Is that the one with Shining Finger?
No, that's G Gundam.
I watched G Gundam.
The original Gundam is actually really interesting. I think it does stand on its own and is important in history of animation / science fiction on television.
Okay.
For a million reasons we can talk about later. But the bad guys were in these things called Zakus.
They were tiny.
What?
Nope.
No, Zakus were...
Little tiny guys.
They're regular sized.
I'm sorry.
They're regular sized giant robots. But visually, they took their design cues from World War I and World War II...
Battleships.
German officer outfits.
My bad.
Yeah, it's... I don't know, it's cool.
It sounds kind of cool.
Yeah.
What are the good guys? What did they take their cues for? Samurais.
Actually, kind of.
Yeah.
Well, there's a certain European quality to early Gundams, because it's shields and swords.
Yeah.
But also rifles and whatever else.
Well, muskets.
But
space muskets.
I just like Zakus a lot more, because they just look more distinctive and interesting.
Okay.
Also, they tended to take inspiration, like a lot of early Japanese stuff did, from post-World War II, like, weaponry and stuff.
Okay.
So Zakus have these big somehow drum-fed laser machine guns that are, that are based on, I think, Italian drum-fed airplane machine guns.
Okay. That's funny.
But it's really cool. I don't
Gatling
know.
Lasers.
I really do like the aesthetic of those super old Gundam shows. G Gundam's cool, though.
I mean, it was just on, what, Toonami or whatever?
Let me look up a picture of a Zaku.
Alright, well, I'll fill the space with my favorite mech of all time, which was the show XLR.
You remember the show? Magus XLR?
Yeah, Magus XLR. Man, chicks dig giant robots.
That was a funny show.
That was a hilarious show. But, of course, it can only exist because there was this thing of, like, the giant robot show anime.
Here's a Zaku.
That's a Zaku. Oh, wow, what? This is very plain.
Well, I mean, it was... Look.
This guy is just, like...
It's the dawn of giant robot animation.
You sure this guy just isn't on the street in the 80s just walking around?
I mean, yeah, there was that, too.
I mean, that's what it looks like, because he's got, like, a spiked shoulder pad and, like, a shield guard and
he's got
eye.
That shield arm, man. Look at all these tubes. So
yeah,
cool.
So granular.
I'm going to look up
wait what
more cool pictures of Zaku's.
What does granular mean?
Look at this. Oh, so good.
This guy is just a helmet.
That's like a model kit or something. I don't know.
He looks a lot like the World War I helmet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I can see what you're saying there.
And all the tubes, the gas mask type stuff was based off of German gas masks.
Yeah.
Basically, I want to spend $120 buying a super expensive Zaku model kit. Not going to happen.
I was about to say, you want to hear some financial advice from me?
Don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's not do that. Let's not have John buy this model kit, but I still really want it.
I mean, from a person who regrets any time he spends money at any time at all.
Yeah.
Even if it's like bills or, you know, food that I need forever.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't buy that. Don't buy it.
Oh! Speaking of money, one thing real quick.
Hi.
So, I'm probably going to buy a model kit regardless of what you say.
God damn it, John. Listen to me. I'm your friend.
Because I really like little twiddly, precise things. Like, I'm the guy...
Build a ship in a bottle.
Like, I was gonna say, I'm the guy 100 years ago who'd just be building ships in bottles. Or,
oh, I'm sorry, I stole that
Or
me.
Tiny cats. But
how do you build a tiny cat?
I don't know, tiny bones. Anyway, money. Let me show you where the money thing went.
Where'd the money thing go?
So, I really like Leatherman multi-tools.
Oh, yeah. Those are good.
Yeah, I'm a super big fan of them, and I worked my way up eventually over the course of my life to owning a Super Tool 300, which is the kind with the replaceable,
gearhead.
No, you can replace the bits in the cutting part, the snipping part of the pliers.
The wire cutter.
And they're all really, yeah, like the wire cutting parts.
Yeah.
And everything's super heavy duty, and I really love it. And it costs about $80, something like that. I paid $100, and there was this guy outside my apartment complex who...
Do you insist on paying more? Because it sounds like you insist on paying more.
No, I didn't insist on paying more. It was just worth more, like, right when it came out.
All
right,
so there was this guy outside your apartment.
There was this guy outside my apartment working on his car. He was like, hey, man, do you have some pliers that, like, open wider than these pliers do? And I was like, no, but I'll go check. And I fully expected to just go inside and just eat my food and ignore him. He was trying to work on his car, I guess. He looked like a somewhat sketchy individual. But I was like, you know what? I'll trust humanity.
Oh, no.
And I went out and I handed him my Leatherman Super Tool 300. And he said, nah, man, I'll return it.
He didn't return it.
He totally did.
Oh, nice.
Like 45 minutes later, he gave it back. Then he explained what he was doing on his car. And it was a great experience.
Oh.
Because I gave it to him. And I like asked him what he was doing, if he needed any help. I went inside. I was like, this is it. Because when I handed it to him, at no point was I like, this is going to go well. I was like, I am casting my ballot for humanity with this $80 multi-tool. I am saying, I'm trusting this guy to, like, throw it into the water to see what comes out.
You know what they say, John?
Mm-hmm.
They say, if you love something, let it go.
Yep.
And if it comes back to you, it was meant to be.
Yep.
You found your true love.
But also that guy is my true love.
The Leatherman Super Tool 300. Which totally sounds like just a fake product on any television show.
It does. The Leatherman Super Tool 300. Durable and returnable.
That sounds like Duralast.
Dirt. Welcome to the podcast.
You're sponsored.
No.
You are a dirty sponsor.
No, listen. I'm going to go home and kiss my children with a Leatherman.
That doesn't sound good. That sounds like abuse.
No, give me money.
And when... We don't joke about abuse.
We don't.
If you or someone you know is being abused, please call 1-800, please don't abuse me.
If someone you know is being abused, please buy a Leatherman Super Tool 300.
John, stop fighting your sponsorship with my sponsorship.
I want a sponsorship.
I also have a sponsorship.
I don't have one, I just want one.
I just plugged mine.
Fuck.
Yeah. Don't abuse people, John. Actually, really neat moment in the Super Bowl. It's like one of the last commercials that was shown. Was an anti-domestic abuse.
I really like that ad.
Yeah,
Really super cool. Really heartbreaking. Really good.
Oh, yeah. Gut-wrenching.
Yep.
How do you tell a story with only 6 words?
Yep.
Sent text, didn't get reply.
How do you tell a story with only 6 words? Well, Hemingway said...
I know. That's what I was mocking.
I know.
For sale.
No, let's not.
Cell phone. No text.
Perfect. Now, readers at home, look up what we're talking about.
And edify then, yourself.
And then enjoy it for yourself. But yeah, very cool that guy returned this thing to me.
Yeah, super cool.
He had no reason to. I didn't know who he was.
He probably looked at it and, you know, because you've got a certain sort of reverence for the things you know.
Mm-hmm.
He looked at this like, what the fuck is this Swiss Army bullshit? I just wanted a pair of pliers. He was like, yeah, you can have your crap back, man.
I think he saw it and he was like, this man trusts me. And I will go to the... What the thing is, he knocked
on... The ends of the earth to return this.
He knocked on my apartment door and I gave it back. And I was like, wait a second. He was like across the building. He didn't see me go back in my apartment. He didn't know which apartment was mine. I was like, how'd you find me? He was like, I knocked on like 3 doors until I found you. I was like, he looked for me.
That's cool.
It was a big... And...
You really did cast your ballot because he had no way to find you, John. Yeah, not smart.
No, it was great.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, now I'll come back and he'll, like, have ransacked my apartment, whatever.
Oh, twice.
Yeah.
What a good scam.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
No, he puts you in, like, a... He's like, you know, if they trust me, they're only gonna, like, lock one lock and not the deadbolt when they leave because they feel like humanity's worth it. And then, man, what an asshole he would be if he stole my things tonight.
He made you feel good, and now he's going to destroy you.
Yep.
He's a supervillain.
Apparently.
The Lex Luthor of people who need pliers that can open larger than these.
He's a supervillain who's going to school part-time for welding.
Well, I mean, who isn't?
If you're out there listening, person who didn't steal my shit, or did, because I don't know until I get home, kudos.
Or not kudos.
Or not kudos.
Sorry, I don't know what happened.
I am not kudos.
I am not kudos.
Yeah, that was a thing. Anime.
Have you ever
How
watched...
How did anime get us there?
You said, have I watched any good anime?
Oh, right.
Yeah. Ask me again.
Have you watched any good anime?
You know, there is this one anime I want to talk about, and I will not be able to say it. The initials are like D-R-R-R.
It's
supposed to be like the sound of a motorcycle.
Oh, is it about motorcycles?
There is a motorcyclist in it.
Okay.
And guess what she is?
A demon?
Close.
Really?
Like I'm gonna get this wrong. A Celtic fairy.
Okay.
A Dullahan.
Okay.
Do you know what that is?
Nope.
Headless horseman.
Okay.
And so the motorcycle is actually her horse. But it's taking place in modern day Tokyo, so
all right.
The horse decided to take the form of a motorcycle.
This sounds like the most anime shit I've ever heard.
She's not even the main character.
All right.
There are no main characters.
Okay.
It's a multi-point of view thing. Each mm-hmm. episode is from a different character's point of view, and it's just events happening in the city, and you can see their sort of version of the events.
Mm-hmm.
The second season is all the same day. So it's literally,
oh, that's cool.
You're going through the same day through different people's perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
It's really fun.
I love that storytelling conceit.
Yeah. The first season is a little wonky because you're trying to learn all these characters.
Mm-hmm.
And so the second season kind of takes over with, you've met everybody, so now see them live.
Okay.
It's I don't know, I like it.
It exists, it seems to exist at least in this place that I find hard to watch with anime that it doesn't have giant robots in it.
Yeah, well it's...
And it's also kind of silly.
It's more of a slice of life sort of thing, but an over the top
You know, it's a
of
slice
life.
Of life thing with a Celtic fairy motorcycle monster.
Look, I said over the top, you cut me off before I could say
okay.
over the top.
Okay.
It's over the top at times. There are gangs, man.
They're gangs?
Gangs of children.
Oh.
Well, not children. They're like high schoolers.
Okay.
Apparently, Tokyo has Tokyo has like a kid gang problem or
I
something.
I did not know this.
Or maybe I'm learning, I'm applying what I've seen in an anime to real life, which,
yep.
Never do that.
Yeah, don't do that with any television show.
What do you mean? Are you trying to say that cops don't always just go beyond the call of duty to save everybody and make sure that Manhattan doesn't explode every other week?
No, they do that.
Oh, okay.
It's just not always accurate.
Oh, so sometimes it's not like a woman cop?
No, they're all women.
All the cops are women in Manhattan?
Yeah.
Manhattan's
the island?
It's
funny because it's Manhattan.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Woman cops.
So is Manhattan the island or the city?
Look, the number of times I've tried to understand how New York works, it's like, what's the Bronx? What's a borough? Where's Queens? What's Manhattan? What's a Statue of Liberty?
What's a pizza? What's a... I'm walking here. What's a taxi?
Is there a building where the World Trade Center was? I don't know. One World Trade?
That's super offensive, John.
No,
to buildings.
I mean...
They have names for a reason.
Yeah.
Each one is special.
I'm just saying.
An individual.
In my mind, yes. Nothing has been built there yet. I'm sure something has. I'm sure it's One World Trade or whatever it's called.
You mean... Oh, you're talking about the Freedom Tower.
Is that it?
That can't be it. That sounds lame.
Do you not know either?
No, man.
How do we not know?
Because
this
we're not good.
This is very important.
We're not really good New Yorkers.
Yeah, we're terrible New Yorkers.
Because I've only been once.
I've been never.
Oh, you should really check out the I'm walking here.
Oh, you know what else I heard is good? The pizza.
The pizza.
Yeah, the pizza.
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 Get your hot fresh. I'm walking here.
Get your hot pizza. I'm walking pizza.
John, what are we doing?
No idea.
Ha! That's a segment!
No idea?
No, what are we doing?
Oh! That pulls it back around. That's what we were doing.
Full circle.
So, in summation, what we were doing is being confused, talking about anime, being offensive about New York, talking about anime again. These are all non-sequential.
You know what anime is really bad?
Da-ra-ra-ra-ra?
No!
What?
That was really good.
Wait. What anime is really bad?
It's a Netflix original in quotes. They just handled the translation.
Oh.
It's called Seven Deadly Sins.
What's that?
It's bad.
All right.
It takes English folklore and just mashes it together until, I don't know, everybody is just like happy and weird and oddly sexist.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds like anime to me.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about anime, dear listeners. Pretty sexist.
Well... When you view it from an outside cultural standpoint.
Yeah, I'm being patrochial.
You're being very patrochial. I didn't say that right.
But yeah, that's what I'm doing.
You're xenophobic. You're afraid of the xenomorphs.
I'm a xenophobic nationalist.
You're a xenophobic warrior princess.
I was gonna make a Xena warrior princess joke. God, Kevin Sorbo.
Why didn't they bring that back?
Yeah, why don't they make that an anime?
An anime?
Yeah, why not?
Why an anime?
I don't know. Why not?
Why not a real person?
Real people are expensive. Cartoons are cheap.
Tell that to The Simpsons.
Have you seen an episode of The Simpsons lately?
No.
27 seasons strong-ish.
You know what I would do with a 27-season show? I'd remake episodes and see if they caught it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
At that point, you just have... Just re-air them.
Well, they do. That's no. All FXXs.
No, just like the new episodes, like new episode of The Simpsons. That's like an episode from season 3, and they're like, man, this new animation style is really weird.
When they're all, like it, though. When they're all blobby and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
Everything's undefined and blurry.
And then there's like an article in Slate where they're like, Simpsons goes back to its roots in revival of animation style. It's like, oh, great.
Good job, Slate. You really hit The Simpsons in the face with a nail.
Is this the first time we've shit on Slate in this podcast? Because I don't feel like it is.
I think you've mentioned either Slate or The Atlantic a few times.
I mean, they're the two publications I listen to the most for my pop culture.
You listen to them?
I listen to some of their podcasts.
They have podcasts?
Yeah.
Other people do podcasts?
Yeah.
I thought we were revolutionary.
Well, I mean, we're the first podcast that you don't have to listen to on an iPod.
Is that why they were called podcasts?
That is actually why they're called podcasts.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I've never listened to a podcast on an iPod.
iPod broadcast.
Are you podcast. Serious right now?
That's actually...
I thought it had something to do with whales.
Nope.
Because a group of whales is called a pod.
Nope, that's why they're called podcasts.
I thought we were all whales and like a radio sea.
iPod broadcast.
Podcast.
Podcast.
John.
Yep.
John.
It's real.
Did anyone out there know that? They said no.
Well, clearly, one of us is being revolutionary.
And one of us has zero credits. Wait.
We can't end it there.
No, we can't.
So,
the weather's nice.
You know, I have a new segment.
Oh, what's a new segment?
I forget what it was called. Let me come up with a real name for it real quick.
All right, here's a new segment. John forgot what the segment was called.
This is the new segment.
Here's a new segment.
this segment is called...
It is called...
John's Nerd Time.
John's... That's the whole episode.
No, the last time it had John in the title. This is called,
Nerd Rage.
Nerd Rage.
Are you mad?
Yeah.
Nerd Contentness.
nerd Content.
Oh.
Let's call this Nerd Content.
Well, that's still the whole episode, but
Here's the Nerd Content.
Here
intro
we go.
Music.
You sound like someone who thinks they know how to play the piano.
I think that might have been Pomp and Circumstance.
Just really slow?
Yeah. Anyway.
So what is your content for this Nerd Content?
I like video games. I've been playing a video game called Firewatch.
You want to talk about Firewatch?
I want to give it a review.
You want to review Firewatch?
It's good.
Oh, that's it?
That's it.
Oh, okay.
I mean, if you want to talk about Firewatch, we can.
I mean, I've never played it.
Well, it just came out today.
It was out today?
Yeah, it just came out today.
Today? Are you serious?
Came out midnight last night.
I've been watching... No, that's IGN. They do previews.
Yep.
I don't like that. Don't show me what the game... Okay, here's the thing. A trailer can show you a piece of a thing, and that trailer doesn't give you the whole experience. IGN just does this thing where it's like, here's the first 15 minutes of gameplay for this game. This is pretty much what it's like to play the game, but also, for certain games, this is what you're going to experience for these 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. And we're just putting it out there. We're robbing you of that first 15 minutes by doing this.
I think it's all for people who can't wait for things.
Yeah.
Because I definitely did find myself looking at Firewatch footage because I have been excited about this game for a long time.
And no one's ever heard of it.
Firewatch?
With me.
Firewatch with me.
Yeah. If I did a Let's Play series of it, that's what I would call it.
Oh, Firewatch with me!
Yeah.
That gum you like is going to come back and start.
I found a piece of candy. I don't know what they sound like or who they are, Tony Danza.
But, yeah, Firewatch is really good.
Ah, well.
It's made by Campo Santo.
Who is that?
Sean Vanneman and Jake Rodkin were two pretty big reasons why the first season of The Walking Dead adventure game was really good.
Okay.
And then they left and made Campo Santo.
Telltale.
Yes.
They left Telltale?
Yes, they left Telltale.
That's why you keep saying the writing's good.
Yeah.
And that's why it's a story game.
Writing's super good. Super beautiful.
Yeah.
Characters are really charming and...
How many innocent people can I gun down?
None so far, but I haven't finished it.
Is there a gun in the game?
Maybe.
Is it a shooter?
Maybe.
It's called fire. I shoot guns. When I shoot them, I say, no, fire!
Then you say, watch!
With me.
It's good.
Well, thank you for that glowing review of Firewatch by Campo Santo.
Interestingly enough, I was going to be a Firewatch man.
Oh, really? Seasonal work?
Yes, actually. I was on USA Jobs, and I met the qualifications, and I kind of wanted to get away from society.
Kind of, you know, I've heard of it sort of like the best, worst thing you can do. Because it's good money, but if there's ever a fire, and like you become part of like the backdraft squad,
yep,
you almost could most certainly die.
Yep.
Because backdrafts are dangerous as hell.
From what I understand, that's very rare. It's kind of a, if you're in the National Guard, getting deployed kind of thing.
Yeah.
But rarer than that.
There are backdraft brigades, which, you know, the hazard pay, out of this world.
Yeah.
But also, the hazard is quite real.
The hazard is burning to death.
Yeah. Backdrafts move fast, man.
Yep.
As someone who's never started a forest fire legally that you can prove.
Yes.
Just don't do it.
I had a friend who did that over the summer.
Started a forest fire?
No, did the fire watching thing.
How was it?
He said that he immediately recognized, because he wanted to do it to like work on a novel and just like and just like set up there. A, he didn't realize that it would be actual 8 hours a day of work.
Yeah.
And he also got up there to his tower and noticed that there were buckets for putting out fires.
Yeah.
Because they can get close enough to your tower that the only, like, until help arrives, the best thing you have is these three big buckets.
And you're up there. Like,
yeah.
You are up there. If your legs, not your legs, but your tower's legs get burnt down, you're coming down.
Yeah. And you're coming down pretty far.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
No. At least you don't have to worry about other people's lives, though.
It's very...
Just animals.
Forest fires are pretty rare in this part of the United States, almost unheard of.
Yeah.
So it's very simple work.
You go out west, though.
Oh, yeah.
You die.
the closer you get to California.
Yeah.
Rocky Mountains, you're right.
The Rocky Mountains. You get up there where the air is thin, mm-hmm. like Colorado, certain parts of Colorado.
Yep.
Don't light fires.
Yep.
Don't even, like, light a grill.
It's, so the first thing, whatever, spoilers, it's the first thing you do in Firewatch.
Oh my god, my ears! I can't, no!
The person you're
talking to... IGN, no!
The person you're talking to over the radio is like, hey, look at your window, fuck. And you look at people are shooting fireworks. The first thing you have to do in the game is go tell teenagers to fuck off with their fireworks. That's like, this is great.
So it's very verisimilitude.
Yes.
Did I say that right? Are you impressed?
Also, it's set in 1989, the year of my birth.
Oh, so there's no cell phones.
Yes, exactly.
No Hotline Bling.
No Hotline Bling.
No Hotline Bling.
You know, the thing about that Super Bowl commercial with Hotline Bling, that's just who Drake is.
That was funny as
hell.
That's
not like a character.
That was funny as hell.
I'm almost certain Drake is actually that person.
That was like, hilarious.
Yep, pretty good.
I liked it.
Didn't like the intestine commercial.
No one liked the intestine commercial. Also, PayPal, make a real commercial next time. Don't make a PowerPoint presentation.
Also, everybody, stop relying on Jeff Goldblum to be funny.
Too late.
He is funny, and he is great, and I love seeing him, but come on.
I didn't want to ruin the surprise, so...
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm sorry. No. Introducing special guest...
Jesus Christ.
Jeff Goldblum! Uh-huh. Oh, he left a note. It says here... I was going to be on the show, but then I heard John's really hurtful comments, and so, you know what? Peace out, later, byes.
Oh, he even put the little peace emoji.
And then he said a P.S. Henry, you're the best.
Then there's a little picture of his shoes around a telephone line.
Yeah, Jeff Goldblum just retired. You heard it here first, folks.
Man, Jeff Goldblum just pulled a Marshawn Lynch.
And that's the way the crookie crumbles. Nope!
I guess that's the name. Okay. Nope! So, nope. This podcast will either be called Jeff Goldblum Just Pulled a Marshawn Lynch, or That's the Way the Cookie Crumbles.
No, that sounds awful.
One of the two.
All right. You used to call me... Oh, copyright infringement.
Oh. Wait, on my cell phone.
If you break it up like that, is it okay?
Yeah. If you put banter between them.
And I know when that...
Well, see, the thing about... The thing about Diderot.
Diderot?
The thing about Derrida.
Doo-der-dee.
Derrida.
Derrido.
Man.
Derra.
I feel like this is really the best podcast.
If this isn't, then last week's was. And we should quit.
No, we shouldn't quit. Yeah, I'm looking forward to this podcast becoming famous.
You know, once we start advertising, things could really pick off.
Okay, listeners...
Listeners,
with this podcast, the seal is broken. We are no longer...
A thousand-year curse reigns upon ye!
Yes, we have taken the tape off of the can, and we are letting the world have zero credits.
Yes, no longer is it just for you, dear listener, but also for you, new dear listener.
Welcome to all dear listeners.
And I'm just picturing people walking around, like, listening to deers.
That's
like,
what I do.
They put their, like, heads up to their, like, they hear the heartbeat, and the deer's like, no, I'm trying to get away. And
What if when you put your ear up to a deer...
You hear the forest.
You just heard Johnny Cash music.
burn. Copyright infringement.
Nope. See, we have to talk. Like a burner and a ring of fire.
Anyway.
Yep.
So, yeah. So, what that means is, since we're going to advertise... You can advertise, too.
Even though we've been telling you to do that. We know that up until now, you've assumed that we were pulling some kind of gimcrack bunkum jape, and you weren't actually supposed to advertise. But now, however...
We mean it.
You're supposed to advertise.
Because we're going to do it, too.
And the force of our advertising, together, you and me, and Henry...
I'm here.
...will... propel this podcast from where it is now to $49.7 million worth of podcast.
And you know what? That's the real goal of every podcast. That exact number you said that I will in no way try to repeat.
49.7 million podcast.
That's the lucky number.
That'll be the last episode of Zero Credits, the 49.7 millionth episode.
You heard it here, folks. You heard it here, folks.
That's another good podcast title. Oh, man.
Hashtag 49.7 million episodes and a movie.
And that's the title of the episode.
We would not do good in a movie.
No, we would not. I don't think... I don't have the face for movies.
I don't have the voice for radio.
Together,
we have an ear for pie.
We have an ear for deer.
Deer ear!
Deer ear!
Deer ear. All right.
Clearly this is going nowhere.
Oh, man. It's that lovely time of night where we have to sign off. AOL.com. Because our mom's saying it's time for dinner.
It is time for dinner. Lasagna.
Lasagna.
Like Garfield once said.
I hate Mondays.
Let's try that again.
Oh, okay.
Back it up. Backtrack, like Garfield backtrack. Once said.
Get out of my house, Odie.
Okay, backtrack again. Stick with me on this one.
You want me to not do the thing?
Just stick with me.
All right.
Like Garfield once said.
You're not the right Cohen brother.
Like Garfield once said. I'm dying in office.
Oh, that Garfield.
Yeah.
James Garfield.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
The egg on my face is real.
It is real.
And it's sizzling.
It's not egg substitute.
Well.
Oh, do you have anything to plug, Henry?
I have one thing to plug, John. It's called... It's called Zero Credits.
Yep.
It's a podcast where we talk about things. It's good.
It is good.
It's got these two guys on it.
Yeah.
Henry and John.
I really didn't like their latest episode.
It was just, what?
I did not see where they were going.
I know. They're so confusing.
I have something to plug.
What do you have to plug?
Our listeners.
Wait.
You're my favorite.
Oh.
And I wish you the best.
You mean, like... I thought you wanted to plug our listeners.
Yeah, hair plug.
And like,
I want to buy them all.
The top of the episode is back!
Yep. I want to buy them all hair follicle transplants.
I hope you guys enjoyed this as much as we enjoyed making it.
And if you enjoyed, please rate and subscribe on iTunes.
Yes, or wherever you found it.
And share on Facebook and Twitter.
And also, pin it on is that a thing?
Yeah, pin it on Pinterest.
Pin it on Pinterest.
Hit me on Kick.
Kick me on Grindr? No.
Friend me on GeoGuessr.
Geocache your friends.
Geocache a Scrabble.
AngelHotfire.com.
Man, what if we had a Twitter?
GeoCities.
GeoCities.
Oh, we should have a Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh, whoops.
Yeah. Let's have a Twitter.
We're going to have a Twitter.
All right.
And it's going to fall apart because I never use Twitter.
Give me the password. We'll both use it.
Yes.
All right.
All right.
Follow us on Twitter.
Hashtag. Follow us on hashtag.
We'll tell you what it is later. Later.
Tune in next time. Bye.
Ourselves.
All right.
That was dumb.